those things that I'd hate at the end of my life when I cross over and I get over to heaven, and for him to take me over there and say, "Preacher, this is all I wanted to give you. This is all the blessings that you missed out on. You was in the will, but you wasn't in the divine will. You was in the permissive will. You was outside there. But you know what? I want to walk in the middle of his divine will for my life. I don't want to miss anything, preacher, that he has for me in my life." And you know what? If you walk in the middle of his divine will, you won't miss a thing. God help us to get back to that center point. I was just sitting over there thinking about that song. And you know, over there in Jeremiah chapter 18 about the potter. The Bible says it was marred, the clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again. But you know what? They tell me whenever a potter works with that clay, he has to put it in the center of that will. God help us to get back to the center of his will for my life and yours. The pastor asked me to open up. Let me just open up a scripture. We can't do the work, but I'm glad the Word of God can do the work. Right. Listen to what the Bible says over in John chapter number 21. John chapter number 21. This is after Peter go a fishing. He left. He said, "I go a fishing." The disciples said, "Well, we'll go with you." And look what happened. Jesus came out there and said, "Children, have you any meat?" Peter said, "Well, we fished all night. We ain't got nothing." He said, "Cast your net." They see what happens. And we go on down there. In verse number 15, it says, "So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?' He saith unto him, 'Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee.' He saith unto him, 'Feed my lambs.'" Notice the question that Jesus is asking Peter. It wasn't whether or not you love me. You know what I believe tonight? I believe the question to the church tonight is not whether or not you love Jesus. I believe we all love Jesus. But the question is, do you love him more than these? Do I love him more than these? Well, preacher, what are these? Anything in your life. Is there anything in your life right now that you love more than Jesus? Is there anything in my life that I love more than Jesus? There is. I'm outside of his will. I'm outside of that. I need to get right. I'm backslidden. That's what Jesus was asking Peter. Jesus said, "Peter, do you love me more than this?" What was that? I don't know. He might have been pointing over to the fish. "Do you love me more than all that money over there in that net? Do you love me more than these people love me? Do you love me more than you love yourself?" I don't know what the question is. I believe it could be several different things. Do you love Jesus more than whatever's in your life? I tell you, I love him more than life itself. I love him more than I love myself. I love him more than I love my family. He's my all in all. He's my everything. He's my greatest friend. He's my biggest. I mean, he's everything to me. I love him tonight. I just love him tonight. He's there when everybody know it. Whenever everybody left, he's still there. I told the pastor I'd take 3 minutes. I didn't even look at my watch when I got up here. But preacher, you come on, mind the Lord. You come on, mind the Lord. Church, before he gets up here and preaches, just ask yourself, whenever he prays, you pray tonight and say, "Lord, preach to me tonight. Give me something from this message." So many times, preacher, I believe that we ask each other, "Well, if they would have been here, they'd have got it. If they would have been here, they'd have got it." But tonight, this message is for you. It's for me. Ask God, say, "Lord, would you preach to me tonight?" And I believe he will. Preacher, you come on.
Be all right, follow the Lord. Miss Macy, you mind singing another song for us? Revival is about getting right with the Lord.
That's right.
Man, it ain't about the preacher. It ain't about the pastor tonight. It ain't about the singer tonight. Revival is about one thing. It's about getting right with the Lord tonight. I'm just telling you, you can't sow seed, preacher, when the winds are blowing.
Come on.
And if you haven't done what you need to do tonight, there's been an awful lot of moving around the altar. And God's moving in a big, big way. And I just ain't going to get in the way of him, preacher.
Come on, brother.
And I'm just telling you, if you're here and you're lost tonight, and you don't know the Lord, I'm not talking about pray to prayer. I'm talking about, have you ever been drawn by the Holy Spirit of God? Has God ever spoke to your heart? And made it really, really real to you where you know that 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 you're saved tonight. Would you bet eternity on it tonight that you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you right with the Lord tonight? Have you got everything out of the way? All the wrong thoughts, all the wrong. A crossword between you and your wife, Peter said, would hinder God in your life. Have you got it all out of the way tonight so you can truly worship the Lord Jesus Christ? If you haven't tonight, the altars are open. She plays and sings this song.
He counts the stars one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shore. He sees every sparrow that falls. He made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything, of all creatures, great and small. And he knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. He knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain and can't see the light of day. I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I can't tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things. I don't have all the answers to the questions of life, but I know in whom I believe. And he knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. Every move that I make, every tear that I cry.
With you tonight, I've had direct orders from her singing that song to what I need to preach tonight. And I'm not really going to preach, preacher. I'm just going to say just a word about some scripture that the Lord laid on my heart. I'll be honest with you, I've got an outline right here, but it's just... it's nowhere near the Lord tonight. And so I'm just going to mind the Lord. I'm ringing just a little bit, Mr. Soundman. And if you could help me out with that, if you'll just take your Bibles, I just want to give you just a brief word. Mark chapter number 6 tonight. The book of Mark chapter number 6. And I'm just going to say a brief word and I'll be out of the way tonight. I just want to try to encourage your heart. In Mark chapter number 6, the feeding of the 5,000 has just taken place. And Jesus Christ has fed the 5,000 and had done many miracles. And the people had started to gather around and the people had started gathering around the disciples and gathering around Jesus, and the multitude started to multiply. And for the disciples' own good, Jesus constrained his disciples and hurried them into a ship. And he told them to go over to the other side, and he'd meet them over there.
Right.
I said, Jesus constrained his disciples. He hurried them into a ship. And let me remind you that Jesus was in a fleshly body just like me and you.
Right.
And preacher, he could not be everywhere at every time. He was limited while he was in his body here on earth. However, he was not limited in his knowledge. He still knew what was going on because he knew Lazarus had already died before he ever got there. He knew Jairus' daughter was going to be all right before he ever got there. So he knew what he was getting ready to do when he constrained the disciples and put them into the ship. So when we pick up in Mark chapter number 6, if you'd look with me just for a moment in verse number 45. In verse number 45, Mark chapter number 6, the Bible said, "And straightway, immediately, right then, without delay, without hesitation, he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he," speaking of Jesus, "departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling in rowing." He saw them struggling. He saw them battling. He saw them fighting for their life. He seen them in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the troubles. But wait just a minute. I thought you just said, preacher, that he constrained them into a ship. And he sent them. It's almost as if in Mark chapter number 6 that Jesus sent them into a storm for their own good. And while they were in the middle of the storm, now preacher, I'm just a country boy. I'm no history teacher. I'm no geographical expert, but I do know this. I do know the mountains are in one direction and the sea or the ocean is in another direction. I mean, if you want to get to the ocean tonight, you've got to go east, amen? And if you want to go to the mountains tonight, you have to go north or west tonight. And so here the disciples are in the storm. And by the way, it was a dark time in their life, and they were in a struggle. They were struggling. They were rowing. They were fighting. They were fighting for their life. Could I say it like this? They was trying to do it on their own. Jesus went to the mountain to pray. And by this time, it was pitch dark. The Bible says it was the fourth watch of the night. Let's look on just for a moment. Look with me in verse number 48. He saw them. He saw them. The Bible didn't say here in verse number 48 that he saw their ship. The Bible said in verse number 48 that he saw them. He saw Peter. He saw James. He saw John. He saw them individually. I'm glad tonight, preacher, in the middle of our trials, in the middle of our storms, in the middle of our problems tonight, I'm glad, sis, that he knows my name. Donald Trump may not know my name. The governor probably don't know my name. A lot of people don't know my name. But he knows my name. Amen. And by the way, Donald Trump can't help me tonight. A lot of people, can't nobody help me tonight. But I'm telling you, the one that can't help me tonight is the one that knows my name. He saw them in the dark times and in the fourth watch of the night. If you try to study that out, the best I could tell, preacher, it's between 3, 4, or 5 o'clock in the morning. The last watch. At the last moment. At the last ounce of strength that they had to go on of their toiling and their rowing. And the Bible says, then the fourth watch of the night, verse 48. Jesus cometh unto them walking upon the sea. He cometh unto them walking upon... Man, I wonder, preacher, why was it running? I don't know about you, but when I get into a storm, I want him to come running, don't you? Here's what amazes me, preacher, that he was still man. He was God, but he was still man. And I don't know about you, but how many of you have ever been at the seashore before and you stood out there and in the dark and you've looked as far as you can see and man, it's just dark and dark and dark and more dark and you just, I mean, you can't see anything. You can look to your right and left and there's lights, but when you look out into the ocean, it's dark. And I'm glad even though that he was in the mountain Even though it felt like the Lord Jesus Christ was anywhere around, in the middle of the storm that He was in control, in the middle of the storm that He sent them into, it was for their own good tonight. And what you're going through tonight might just be for your own good. It may be just to keep you out of trouble tonight. It may be that it's just to keep you from something worse in your life. But He saw them. Isn't it amazing that Jesus Christ, even though it was dark, even though they were in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, even though they were in a storm. Now listen, I had one of my buddies. Anybody been in the military in here? Anybody in the Marines or in the Navy? I had one of my buddies that was a Marine tonight, and he told me, he said, man, and I'm just telling you, he's one of the coolest, calmest dudes I've ever seen in my life. They don't nothing bother him. They don't nothing scare him. He's easygoing. But he said they'd be out there in the middle of the sea, and he said there would be waves that would be like 50 foot up above that ship. I'm talking about one of them big Navy. I'm talking about where in the Marines and those ships where they land those airplanes. And I mean, where they got a runway, preacher. I'm talking about a huge piece of boat. I'm not sure that they had that here. 50 foot up in the air. And he said, I'd look up there. And he said, I'd be kind of scared. And then he said, the next thing you know, he said, we would be way up here on top and the water would be way down there. And I'm just telling you, it wasn't like a pond. It wasn't like the floor. And Jesus looked out through there. I'm telling you, it was rocky waters. I believe this. These men done this for a living. The water was no stranger to them. Storms was no stranger to them. Yet, they were scared for their life. I'm glad when I can't see Him. I'm glad when I don't know where He is. Preacher, I'm glad when I'm so far from Him that I don't know who He is. Right. I'm glad He knows who I am.
Oh, yeah.
I'm glad He knows where I am.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just telling you tonight, Calvary Baptist Church, you might not see Him. You might not feel like He's anywhere around. But I'm glad He's got His eye on you tonight. Hey, sinner friend, you might be here lost, dying, and on your way to hell tonight. But I'm telling you one that's got His eye on you tonight. I'm glad when you're struggling, you can't feel like you just feel like you just cannot go on. There's no doubt, preacher, in a crowd this size on a Tuesday night, that some of you struggled to get here.
Come on.
I talked to one sis that said she was at Boone this morning at 7 o'clock in the morning getting a cancer treatment, but yet she's here tonight. I'm just telling you, there's no doubt in my mind that some of you struggled to get here tonight. And God just sent me by to tell you, He knows where you are. Don't give up. Don't quit fighting. Keep struggling. Keep toiling. Keep rowing. Keep looking for Him. Keep waiting on Him. Don't get out of the boat. Stay in the boat. Stay in fellowship with Calvary Baptist Church. Stay in fellowship with your pastor tonight. Stay in fellowship with the deacons tonight. Hey, stay in the ship tonight. He come walking on the sea. Here's the scary part, preacher. He came walking on the sea. We read that like it happens every day. He came walking on the sea. Big deal. Jesus Christ walked on the sea. And we just read right over that. But it was dark. They were fighting for their life. And He was walking to them. But here's what scares me. That the Bible says that He would have passed by them. I believe some of us is in the storm of our life. I really do, preacher. I believe some of us is fighting. And we're holding on by thread tonight. And here's what scares me. That this might be your last chance to cry out for help to Him. So you can't get Him anytime you want Him. Yes, He's everywhere present. But he's only passing by like this every once in a while, preacher. I mean, he don't pass by like this every time, Calvary. He don't pass by like this on every service. He does not pass by. And he would have passed by them, but they cried out in fear. I know many of us have had kids tonight. And we've got two of our own. They're a little older now, but I remember when they were little that there was a difference in just a mama or a daddy and when they cried. You know, they had this little whimper, preacher, that they would... Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Would that little boy come to me or would I scare him to death? Would he? Hey, pal. How are you? Some of us, preacher, just wants Jesus to come by and pick us up and go, it'll be okay, buddy. It'll be okay. You have your pity party. It'll be okay. Right? When he really gets hurt. I said, when he really needs you. You know when he wants something to eat. You know when he needs to be fed. You know when he just wants his passy. You know when he's tired. But if this youngin' right here fell and he really got hurt, there's a difference in that cry. You know what we need to do tonight? We need to quit whimpering. We need to start weeping and crying for the presence of God. We need to start weeping and we need to start begging Christ to stop by our way. Hey, we need to start weeping and crying and asking for God's help. And the verse number 49 said that when he came walking, he would have passed by them, but when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it a spirit and cried out. They were scared. Could you imagine being in the middle of the sea and it's dark and you can't see anything at all, and all of a sudden you see something really bright and you're like, oh my goodness, what is that? It was not their first rodeo. They had never seen anything like that before. And all of a sudden, after years and years and years of fishing, they've seen something they ain't never seen before. They've been in a storm, preacher, like they had never seen before. And they cried out to him, for they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And he went up unto them, and into the ship. And the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered. But listen to this right here. I'm done. Verse number 52 said this, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. I'm not going to dwell right here for a moment, but I just want to say this. Anybody got a hard heart tonight? Anybody get angry because you're in a storm and you don't think you deserve to be in that storm tonight? I don't know why God's got me right here. I'm sick and tired of being single. All I want is a spouse. All I want is a mate tonight. Preacher, have we been waiting all over 7 years. 7 years this past March, preacher, we were getting ready to sign a contract to build a house. I mean, some of the money was there. The credit's there. We were ready to go, preacher. And God said, wait. Preacher, I don't understand why. My wife don't understand why. All I know is he said, wait. But God forbid us to get a hard heart. God forbid us to have our hearts hardened tonight because we don't have our way in the matter. Preacher, this ain't no lie. Lord called me. I was 17 years in law enforcement. Law enforcement is exactly what I wanted to do my whole entire life. That's all I wanted to do, preacher. That's all I asked for. I'm going to tell you, can I testify to you just a minute? For 17 years, all I wanted in my life was to be in law enforcement. And for 17 years, I done that. But I was out of the will of God. That was my Isaac. Now the Lord's allowed me to stay in it part time. But I'm just telling you tonight, here's the way I felt, preacher. I'm just going to be honest with you tonight. God called me to pastor. God called me to preach, and I gave this month. As a matter of fact, it was either last Saturday, Sunday, or this Sunday. I will have been saved 20 years, and God called me to preach. Sometime after that, and I gave him a call to preach. But when I realized that he might call me to pastor a church, I started running, preacher. I'm just going to tell you, I didn't say this aloud, but I thought it and it was in my heart. I'm talking about our hearts being hardened because of the storm. And here's what I had in my heart, preacher. How dare you, God, step into my life and to ruin my plans? What kind of God would ruin my plans? How dare you to step into my life and to hinder what I wanted to do? All I wanted to do, preacher, is put on a uniform. I mean, that is not that much to ask. How dare you, God, to want me to give that up for you? That's what was in my heart. So you know what he done? Full of mercy. Full of grace. In 2001, I started in law enforcement, and he gave me a job as a school resource officer. That wasn't good enough for me, preacher. I wanted more. Because what I wanted to do was work the road. What I wanted to do was be on patrol. What I wanted to do was work night shift. So you know what he done, preacher? After I ran and after I rebelled and after I continued to rebel and I continued to rebel and I continued to rebel, he said, that's what you want. It's all yours. It's what you want more than me. Have it. I'm just telling you the truth tonight. That's why I told you the first night when I come up here, when I see my name on that side, I know me. I know where I've been. I know what my heart. You don't know me. You don't know my heart. I know where my heart's been. I know what I've done in my life. And I'm just telling you tonight, if God can use a failure and a sinner and somebody as sorry and low down as I am, he can use you. Harden not your heart. I got so far, preacher. I got so far. Went to a church one morning, me and my family. My daughter, my little boy was sitting on the pew. We were sitting on this side of the church, and we were probably sitting about right where you are in the red shirt. About 6-7 pews back, 8 pews back. And I'll never forget it. The preacher was preaching on the school of hard knocks. And he said, you can run so far, your heart can get so hard that God will take you out of this world. And God spoke to my heart that morning, preacher. And just as plain, Brother Chris, as I'm standing here in this pulpit tonight, he told me, look over at your family. And I'm telling you, it's as real as we're standing here. And I looked over there and I see my little boy, and he wasn't much bigger than that right there. I looked over at my little girl, and she was about that big right there. And I looked at my beautiful wife, and they had no idea what was going on. And he said, you either get it right tonight. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm telling my testimony tonight.
Come on, brother.
He said, you either get it right tonight, or I will take you out of this world. He said, you've got a family depending on you. He said, you've got kids depending on you, and you've got a wife depending on you. I'm just telling you, preacher, He is fixing to set my barley fields on fire. He is fixing to get my attention. He was fixing to send me to an early grave. And that night, Brother Chris asked me how long I'd been preaching. The other night, I said a long time. But I've been running a long time. And that night, preacher, I surrendered my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I said, Lord, here I am. I'm a failure. I'm sorry. I'm no good. I'm low down. I'm nothing without you, Lord. But here I am. Whatever you want to do in my life, I surrender every single bit of it. From that night on, preacher, my life has never, ever been the same. Calvary, God makes no mistakes tonight. I promise you, here was my outline that I was going to preach tonight. But God spoke to my heart sitting right there. Said, you get Miss Macy to sing a song. You read, elaborate out of Mark chapter number 6. Get out of the way. Don't turn your back on the Lord Jesus Christ.